Welcome to this episode of the Joe Homebuyer Success Profiles podcast. Today, we're privileged to talk with Brett Stewart, who's in the Abilene, Texas area and joined the franchise in December of 2022. It's an absolute honor for us to have on the podcast today. So, Brett, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to be on. And honestly, so in my old job, I did a bunch of podcasting, and it's one of the things that I miss about my old job. And so when y'all contacted me about doing a podcast, I was fired up. I was like, yes, I get to do podcasts again. And anyways, for Christmas, I had my family buy me a couple podcast mics. So I'm ready to get something else started, but this is awesome to be on and talk about our story and journey and talk with some other Joes and get to hear the stories of other Joes.
Absolutely. Well, tell us, what kind of work did you do before you joined the Joe Homebuyer franchise? And then maybe you can tell us briefly what it was that attracted you to want to join Joe Homebuyer in the first place.
Yeah, sure. So I was a pastor for almost 14 years. Worked at three different churches. The last church I worked at, they've all been here in Abilene, Texas, but the last church I worked at, worked over 7 years or so. I had been in real estate. Well, now I've been in real estate for about 3 years, and you know, I kind of just started to dabble in it. I thought, hey, this is a good side hustle, nice little investment, like get a couple of properties. And when I got started, so I right now I've got, let's see, 6 rentals, 3 Airbnbs, and have done some house flips along the way. But as soon as I got started, I was like, oh my gosh, real estate is awesome. Like, this is so much fun. And so I just had a lot of energy to it. And I was meeting people, talking to people, you know, networking, making a lot of connections, and the momentum just seemed to keep going. And so I had thought, you know, my wife and I had talked about previously, okay, what does it look like if I were to step down from full-time like employment from the church? What if my paycheck didn't come from the church anymore? But what if we had investments and we did other things, other businesses that then provided the income and really the time flexibility for us to do ministry and missions kind of whenever we want, however we wanted. And so that idea had already been in our heads. And so at the end of summer of 2022, I made the decision, you know what, I'm just gonna try it. I'm just gonna step down from this being my full-time job. It's all I've known as an adult. I'm 33 years old. And so I've been a pastor, you know, my whole adult life, professional life. And so it was a big step for sure. But it's like, you know what, let's just see how this goes, because I believe in it and I feel like it's something that we're supposed to do. It seemed to be growing into more than what I expected it to be. And it was like, well, let's just try to put some fuel on the fire and see what happens. And so I had made the decision to transition away from, you know, my paycheck being full-time church employment. And at the time I was working on a couple of flips, which those flips actually ended up in disasters because the contractor stole a bunch of money and materials, and we're in the middle of still settling through all of that. And so it was actually, these two house flips were supposed to be like home runs of house flips, by the way. And it was supposed to be one of those, like, you know, we sold these, hey, that just provided my salary for at least the next 12 months. And, you know, it would allow the flexibility of like, okay, ease into real estate. Well, those didn't happen. And so we just like cut our household income in half and was working through all these things. And I still had some small real estate projects along the way, have our rentals, have our Airbnbs. Those are going well, but it actually was a really difficult season. It didn't plan out like I thought it would. And you know, some of those are uncontrollable factors that I didn't have any control over, but along the way, I mentioned Airbnbs. One day there was some random guy that stayed in one of my Airbnbs. He told me he was in town closing on a large portfolio of homes. And I was like, oh, sweet. And so, you know, anytime anybody talks about investing, like my ears perk up and it's like, well, let's talk. And so he and I started talking through Airbnb chat platform. And then we realized that we had been working on two house flips on the same street, two houses away from each other at the same time. And so I remember that house being worked on. They remember my house being worked on. And he gave me his phone number and told me he's got a partner that lives in Tuscola, which is really just like South Abilene. And so I met up with him a couple of times. We talked. We decided to do a deal together. And they told me that they had bought into the Joe Homebuyer franchise back earlier that spring of 2022. And, you know, after we did one project together, they're like, hey, Brett, we really like you. You know, we knew that we wanted to buy into this franchise and we wanted to grow it, but we also want to look for someone who fits well with us and who can really run with it and grow it. And so it really just kind of came about in that way. Just a little bit more details to that. Hopefully it's not too much information, but I hired my sister-in-law to manage the Airbnb rentals. She would manage and clean. So I almost never communicated with Airbnb guests, but it just so happened she had something come up in life that was really hard and she just really needed a weekend off. And so the weekend that she asked off to just go on a weekend visit, that's the weekend where this person, Greg Rutherford, he stayed at my Airbnb. And so I just happened to be handling the communication. Had it not been that week, I wouldn't have talked to Greg. I wouldn't have been the one to handle that communication. And so it's really cool to kind of like, you know, play it back in, you know, your mind and just see all of those little pieces that kind of all happened and fit together. And without one of those, you know, I wouldn't be here today as part of the Joe family.
Now, had you done any wholesaling before, or is that kind of a different kind of investing you've never done before?
So I definitely bought a lot of deals from wholesalers. I had wholesaled two properties, I think, before officially coming on with Joe. And it's funny, I was telling Zarius this the other day because I was up in Utah. I joked with him. I said, you know, I always used to tell myself, like, I'll never be a wholesaler. And now that came back to bite me. But it's been a blast. I never thought I would love it as much as I do. So, yeah, the wholesaling aspect, it wasn't unfamiliar, but it was definitely something that I hadn't planned on doing. But now it's probably one of the most enjoyable aspects of the job with Joe.
Absolutely, because you get a chance to sit down with sellers, find out about how you can help them and serve them. And I think that's so important, obviously, as well.
Yeah, so, and in fact, actually, so that was one of the factors that played into my decision of, am I gonna partner up with Joe or not? Because again, as a pastor, you know, when your full-time employment and position is helping and serving people, you don't have a shortage of opportunities of like people bringing their, you know, their distressed lives to you. And when I stepped away from that position, there was a big void, you know, in my life that was such a pattern and a value that I had for so long. And so I just felt like I didn't have that many opportunities. And as I started, you know, thinking through, praying through about, am I going to do Joe Homebuyer or not? Just seeing the potential for, you know what, distressed homes mean distressed lives, and the opportunity to get to go into those homes and be with people and serve them and hear them and encourage them and maybe be the only person that approaches them with, you know, loving kindness or patience. That was a huge factor that actually played into me saying yes and coming on board, because I saw the value of that face-to-face opportunity with people.
Well, how long did it take you before, once you started the franchise, before you got your first deal?
About 7 to 10 days.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty fast.
Yeah.
Tell us about what happened with that. You got your marketing turned on and then you got to meet with somebody, and just tell us about that deal a little bit.
Yeah. So got the marketing turned on, got a little lead, followed up on it, and you know, I was like, okay, this is cool. I actually didn't really have that high of expectation because it was just, I think it was one of the first leads, maybe like the first or the second lead that, you know, came through when we got marketing turned on. But then, so yeah, it was just a distressed home that this guy didn't live in anymore. He was an older gentleman, retired, had a lot of family stuff that had been going on. And yeah, I walked through the house, and then he and I, we talked over the phone. We were talking about price. I was trying to implement some of the strategies that I was already learning through the Zoom calls and trainings. And it was honestly probably the easiest negotiation that ever happened. And we came to an agreement point and got under contract. And then I think it was like maybe 6 days later, I'd put together kind of the email marketing blast, sent it out to a buyer's list that I had just gathered, you know, coming through Facebook myself and the investor groups that I was already in. And it was, yeah, I mean, probably within less than a week, I already had it assigned to a buyer.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, how many people do you think are on your cash buyers list now that you've been kind of working on building that specifically?
So that's funny. We honestly, for a while, I was at like around 300, but I just worked with a VA, and I think we have that list to like 600, 650 right now. But honestly, I still haven't even, like, that's hot off the press that just happened. And so I haven't even sent any deals out to probably a third of those buyers yet. And so, yeah, it was kind of odd for such a little buyers list. So to date, let's see, we've done, I think, 11 contracts. We've assigned all of them so far. I still have a few contracts that I'm looking for buyers. So not all of those have been like fully assigned and closed. But up to this point, those that we've assigned, yeah, we haven't had to drop any contracts. But that's all been done from a relatively small buyers list. But I think part of that is I've been in Abilene my whole life. I was already deeply, you know, networked and connected with people. And then as a investor myself, having been in this, you know, just being in the Facebook groups, knowing what people are looking for in Abilene. And so I feel like the buyers list that I had and the networks and the connections I had, I knew that they were like solid, active buyers. And so when you have a good list of just active buyers that you personally know in the community, it's actually been really beneficial for having so few people on the buyers list in the beginning.
That's such a great point, that relationship, and they know you, they can trust you, you're going to work with them. You understand what they're looking to buy. You can really present the right kinds of deals to them, and it's just a good fit that way for sure. So
yeah, and I know, point. You know, I know the Abilene market, and I know one thing that I promised myself and I promise other buyers is like, I'm never going to push out a deal that I wouldn't buy for myself. Like that those numbers wouldn't be attractive to me to at least like press in, comb through the details and see what I could make of it. And so, you know, being an investor on the front end of you know, before I came into Joe Homebuyer, I think that also helps too. And to your point, yeah, being local, you know, we've got out of town wholesalers, but my local presence and already having been like connected to a community of people, you know, I think that's a really strong advantage that I have, that we have, and something I'm going to continue to look to build. Because, you know, I was telling Mark Stubler just last week when I was up in Utah, like, I really think in the next handful of months, like, you know, Joe Homebuyer West Texas can be like the name in Abilene. It can be the go-to where, you know, buyers are already contacting us like, hey, do you have any more properties? We're looking for our next projects. But even just, you know, the word of mouth, we are a smaller city, you know, we're not Dallas or Fort Worth or anything like that in Texas. We are a smaller community, and that circle of trust and relationships plays a large impact in our community, like being known and being local. And so I think, you know, just word of mouth of, you know, the people that we have helped and served, they're telling their friends, they're telling their family about the process. And we're already starting to get some text messages and calls. You know, just last week, I got a call from someone that was like, hey, you helped so-and-so. I'm looking to sell the property. I need to sell a property. And so, yeah, I'm excited about honestly, you know, by the end of this year, what Joe Homebuyer West Texas can do and how we can grow here in Abilene and the surrounding areas.
That's awesome. I appreciate you sharing that. Well, let's talk about a couple of stories of those deals that you've worked on. Maybe you could just tell us a little about a memorable experience you had where you sat down with someone who were able to help them out and what that experience was like for you. How it just kind of solidified in your mind the power of the Joe Homebuyer mission of providing these creative solutions to help people out of these challenging problems they might find themselves in. Maybe we can share one or two stories like that of things that have happened to you that could just address what you feel about the Joe Homebuyer mission.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, up to this point, they all have had some sort of impact and meaning. But a couple that come to the front of my mind, you know, our second deal that we did, you know, got a lead, got a phone call off of our website. And in fact, this guy, he was like, I scrolled through till I found the first local area code. And that's the one that I called. And so that's, you know, Abilene is kind of that way, like bypass all the other not local things just to get to the local person. But this guy ended up being a, for lack of a better term, I guess like a handyman for this particular seller. Anyways, the property had been vacant for a while. There had been a bunch of squatters in the house. The house was trashed. The sad part though is this particular seller, it was an older retired couple, although one of them wasn't retired. She's actually head of an organization here that helps women get out of substance abuse. So she's already just a sweet, you know, admirable lady that's serving the community and serving others. But they had opened up this house that was just a cute little rental house downtown Abilene. They had opened it up for their son to live in, and their son has just a lot of problems, has been in and out of jail, drug problems, things like that. So, you know, they're trying to open up this house and this place to him just to provide him some safety. And anyways, he ended up just trashing the place, not taking care of it, and actually being really hateful and ugly towards his family. And he just left this thing a wreck. And then, you know, squatters had come in, and I mean, this thing was disgusting. And the seller, when I had talked with one of the sellers, the wife, the older lady, she told me that they were so ashamed and embarrassed of the condition of the house. And like, they hadn't stepped foot in it in a while because they were scared to see something that had been theirs that they had taken care of, like in that bad of shape. And so, you know, in the process of us talking about, okay, what does it look like for us to buy? And I was looking at this like, hey, we might buy this for ourselves. Like, this would be a great flip. This would be a great rental. You know, they even made a comment to me at one time of like, I don't even know if this house is worth saving or not. It might be worth just demoing it, you know, and then starting fresh. And so anyways, they just had a lot of shame and guilt about the property. And so I, you know, as a pastor, anytime I hear anything about, you know, shame or embarrassment, you know, that creates an opportunity of like, ask more questions and get to some of that and then speak, you know, encouragement and truth into the person and into their mind about that fear of what does this reflect about me, or what if I would have done this, or how could, you know, et cetera. And so really, it gave me just an open door to speak things into their lives. But also, you know, fast forward, we ended up, we got it under contract. We put it under contract for $9,000. And then we assigned it. Side note, I had gone in there, me and a bunch of others, and we did about $3,000 worth of demoing and clearing out trash and hauling off trash. But anyways, I made this promise to her, to the seller of, hey, you know what? How about this? When we're done with this property, and I talked with the end buyer, he's actually the buyer who bought my first property, and then he ended up buying my second property back to back. But I talked with him and just told him, I said, hey, how about this? Because I knew he was gonna flip it. I said, when this house is done, how about we bring the sellers so that their last memory, their last like physical picture of this house, can it be restored into a beautiful place again? I think that would really help this memory for them, because, you know, over and over and over, I mean, they were just so plagued by the idea of the, you know, just how bad of shape and condition the house was in. And I can't believe our son would treat our things this way. I can't believe other people would just break in and steal things and ruin it and this and that. And so we just arranged the whole thing for them so that, you know, when it's finished, which it should be finished hopefully soon, it's been quite a long project, we're going to get to walk them back through it, and their last memory of the place can be it beautiful again. So that's, wow, that's one of the stories. The second one that comes to mind, it was just recently, got a phone call, and well, it was off of a web lead and then phone call, but there was this young couple. They had only been married for about a year, year and a half. They're already going through a divorce. They bought a house, you know, at the height of the housing market boom in, you know, what was that, 2021, end of, you know, maybe beginning of 2022. And so they bought a flipped house. So the house had already been renovated. Okay, funny story. This shows you how kind of small town Abilene is. The person who had flipped that house, the young couple had bought, is the same guy who bought my first two deals off of me. But anyways, this couple, they're going through a divorce. They bought this at, you know, high value, little money down. And as we looked at the numbers, there was no way that they could sell this thing without bringing money to the closing table, with a realtor or even with any kind of price that is close to what it's worth. And so we orchestrated a sub two deal, subject to the existing mortgage. And this is the first time I had even thought of that or attempted that. I know we had talked about it some on some of our Zoom calls as Joes. And it was like, okay, well, let's just see. I'm willing to make something happen. And honestly, it's not going to be a glorious assignment, but it really will help the sellers. And I don't know any other way that they can resolve a piece of this in the middle of their divorce, you know, settle the issue of a house, but then also bring them some money in their pocket, because otherwise they're going to have to pay. And they're behind on their mortgage too, about $6,000, I believe, $5,000 or $6,000. And so anyways, we orchestrated this deal to where, okay, we're going to do a subject to purchase. We're going to get you this much money and we're going to take over the payments. And so then I found a buyer who was actually out of state, Southern California investor, that was really attracted to the deal because the interest rate on this house was 3.25, I think.
Wow.
And it still had, you know, 28 and a half years left on its term at that interest rate. And so this out of town investor was really attracted about that. It was a low, you know, low cost out of a pocket to get a house that, you know, can cash flow, and it's got a really low interest rate that it's locked into. And so found a buyer for that, and it, you know, assignment fee off of that, the rest of the money, it paid off what the sellers were behind on their mortgage. And then I think it ended up putting about $4,000 in their pocket that they could split and divide amongst themselves. But that situation showed me the opportunity of creative financing, especially with people that are in difficult circumstances. Because, you know, if you think about it, it was just a year and a half ago and a little more that we had man-made lowest interest rates that the world has ever heard of and seen. And a lot of people bought at that time, and a lot of people bought things that were in good and nice shape. But life happens. Like, there's deaths in the family, there's illnesses that happen, there's people that lose their job, there's unfortunately divorces that go on. And so there's so many opportunities out there around us, and that are going to be out there, where, you know, the only way that people can kind of walk away from the house and walk away from the selling table, the closing table, with cash in their pocket, is if we orchestrate some sort of creative finance opportunity. And so it creates a win-win for everybody. And that's kind of like my motto and my goal and everything that I do, is like, if it's not a win for everyone, it's not a deal worth doing. And so I don't know, that's just an example with that young couple going through an unfortunate circumstance. But, you know, from training and discussion and collaboration with other Joes and you know, the power of creative financing, we were able to bring peace and resolution and even, you know, cash back into these sellers' pockets. And that was at least one major piece that we were able to alleviate off of, you know, just the stress of going through a divorce and a separation, you know, as a whole.
Yeah, I think both of those are such great stories because it shows how you served those individuals at a high level and really met their needs. And that's really what Joe Homebuyer is all about, right? About helping people in those difficult situations. But I'd love to hear some of your perspective about the training you've had. You were just up here, as you mentioned, in Utah last week for some training. Talk about the training process when you first started, some of the virtual training, what you learned about wholesaling since you've already been doing a little bit of investing, what you learned from that, how the ongoing trainings have been beneficial for you, as well as maybe the training that you participated here in Utah as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's so many opportunities, you know, throughout the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, there's a bunch of Zoom calls to hop on and to be on. And part of my initial goal, you know, I'll show my cards here and maybe even, you know, some of my either confidence or arrogance. Sometimes it's a gray line. It's a fine line of which is which, but you know, part of me was like, hey, I've been investing. I know the investing world. You know, I'm sure these calls will be beneficial, but also like I'm not new to this. But my goal originally getting on the calls was I want to know the culture and the DNA of Joe Homebuyer. I want to know who the people are, how they talk, you know, what their mission is. And so my goal getting on the Zoom calls originally was just getting to know the franchise as a whole, getting to know the business and the organization. And, you know, cause I was completely brand new into it. And really I just came back. I don't know when this is airing. We're recording end of April, but I did the April live training and, you know, I did the conference back in February, but up to the conference, I hadn't done any in-person training yet. I was going to try to do January, but my wife and I already had a big UK vacation trip that we went on. But so, yeah, I had originally just hopped on the Zoom calls just to get a feel for, like, who is everybody? You know, I talked to Mark Stubler on the phone in the beginning, and I was really impressed with him and just his vision and how he talked. And I was also like, man, this guy is like, he's available for phone calls. I don't know how many franchisees he has. I don't know what all he does, but he's making himself available to other people and to other franchisees. And that alone impressed me. That showed me that there is a relational value that Mark had, but also Joe Homebuyer as an organization, had. And so, yeah, just getting on the Zoom calls and getting to know people. And in that process, then I started. So a lot of it wasn't brand new information, but now being in a new atmosphere, a new culture, a new role, when you start to hear it or talk about it, you start to think about it from a different lens. And so for me, it was more of that as being on these Zoom calls. Yeah, there's like strategies that we talked about. I'm a verbal processor. So even just hearing other people talk about things helps me process through details on myself and really helps me, you know, think creatively or solidify processes. But even just in talking about it, you know, it really opened up my perspective and shifted the lens of, okay, I've heard about these things before, but now how do I apply it? So I'm a big application person. I love to go deep into the details and I love the complexities of it. But at the end of the day, like if you don't apply it, then it does nothing. And so just being on the Zoom calls and thinking differently, but then seeing the practical applications of how this could be implemented, whether that's, you know, how to talk to a seller or sit down with a seller, how to negotiate, what to say, what not to say, you know, ways that you could orchestrate and put a contract together, or the fine details of what all you can put in a contract, offering value add services that aren't necessarily a dollar amount on the contract, but hey, do you need to stay in the home for another month? Do you need a moving trailer? Do you need a storage unit for 2 months to put your stuff in? Do you need me to hire a, you know, a demo crew or a clean out crew that's going to come and bring dumpsters and you can throw trash and stuff. Like thinking of these other details, realizing that money is only part of the equation and the factor of selling a home. And often, you know, yeah, money is important, and a lot of people get caught up on the dollar amount. But especially with distressed homes and distressed lives, you'll find, you know, those, I think we refer to them as black swans. You'll find those things that really hold value or could bring meaning and impact that have nothing to do with what number you write on the contract. And so just being more focused on that and how to listen, be a better listener to the needs of the seller so that you can provide a greater value than just someone who, you know, calls them on the phone and pulls up PropStream or whatever and says, yeah, I'll offer you, you know, $25,000 for your house. But, you know, the Joe way is go inside of their home and sit down with them and get to know them and see what they value, see what they need, and see how you can assist them in that entire process. And so I think it just really transformed the way I saw real estate so that it wasn't just transactional as far as, you know, dollars in, dollars out, but it really did become way more of a mission. And it's funny too, because, you know, I was in ministry full time and I was doing real estate, honestly, kind of full time at the end. And I kind of kept those two things separate, even though I knew that there was opportunity for them to kind of merge. But it was only in stepping away from my full-time church employment and then stepping into Joe that I really felt like the worlds of ministry and service to other people and investing kind of came together in a way that, you know, they synced up, they became unified, and they became interwoven through each other. And so that's a lot of what I got off of the Zoom calls. You know, there's strategies and stuff that we talk about, but really it just brought kind of two worlds that I was already in. It brought them together in a seamless way to where, you know, not only does it provide us leverage in the franchise territories that we're in, but I think it really provides the value that we can bring to sellers and to people in our markets.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that. You mentioned about attending the conference in February and getting a chance to meet other franchisees in person. Talk about that a little bit, about the other franchisees that are part of Joe and interacting with them in person and what that's been like as far as just getting to know them a little bit better.
Yeah, man, conference was a blast. I loved it. You know, I really didn't know what to expect. I didn't even know. I couldn't even tell you at that time, you know, how many other franchisees there were. And I was like, hey, maybe this is, you know, 20 people. Maybe this is 100. Maybe it's 150. I don't know. But, you know, it's really cool to see what Mark and Cody and everybody involved have been able to create as far as a culture of Joe Homebuyer. One of the things that attracted me to Joe Homebuyer was, you know, values that were already part of who I was and my belief system and, you know, how I want to love and serve other people and how I want to do things with excellence. And so that's one of the things that attracted me to Joe. But when I showed up at conference, I saw a room full of people that exhibited those same values. And so I think it's attributing to not only has Joe Homebuyer created and I think enhanced these values for other people, but it's attracting people that hold those values as well. So I think it's a both and. I don't know that it's solely because of what Joe Homebuyer does that people are operating, you know, with the integrity, with the passion, with the creativity, with the service, you know, being servant minded. You know, I don't know that Joe Homebuyer is creating that in people. It's definitely enhancing it and equipping it, but it's also, it's attracting those kind of people. And so it was really cool to step into that room and just see all these people, same values, same passions, you know, people all over in their, you know, Joe Homebuyer, you know, career, newbies to those that have been doing it for a while, you know, young, old, in between, far away, close at home. So I don't know. It was really cool to just collaborate with people, to talk, to, you know, feel and gain that energy from from what it means to be part of the Joe family and see that, like, okay, this thing isn't just it's not just a bunch of rah-rah that, you know, you use to try to attract someone. This is truly who Joe Homebuyer is and who these franchisees are, like, in and out. Like, this is who they are. And so, I don't know, stepping into that, you know, I was like, you know what? I'm in the right place. I'm with the right people. And to know that there's a room full of real estate investors, you know, wholesalers, realtors, business people that operate and think like this, you know, all over the U.S., it just really encouraged me of the kind of ways that we can serve and love people, but also, you know, what that means for the Joe name nationwide and what can be developed. And so, yeah, it was really awesome. I was really encouraged from conference. I left there just with some motivation to just keep going and to go for it and go bigger. And, you know, one of Cody's things that he talks about all the time is just like, just take action, take imperfect action, like, fail, who cares, just go for it. And so, you know, leaving conference with that mindset of like, okay, Brett, get out of your head, like, stop thinking about, you know, the fine details so much that it's keeping you from stepping out as much as you could, and just go for it. And, you know, one of the things too, that I've been challenged in this as I've been kind of developing myself and growing myself is just realizing that in the past, I've been a high achiever. I've been able to achieve a lot of goals. It's just my personality and kind of a jack of all trades. So I pick up things really easily and really well, but I had always set goals based upon what I knew I could achieve because I like to win, if that makes any sense. So I set goals that I knew were capable of being set, but now I'm looking at this and I'm like, okay, what are goals that are beyond me that actually kind of scare me or make me think there's no way I could possibly do this? Those need to be the things that I am taking that action towards, just taking imperfect action and going for it and striving to see not only what's possible within myself, but then that's also forcing me to, you know, now I'm in the place of like, okay, what does it look like to bring on a lead manager? What does it look like to bring on an assistant? What does it look like, you know, for someone to do acquisition or disposition? And like, bigger goals mean it's beyond me. It's beyond Brett. It's beyond, you know, our West Texas franchise. But now it's about building a team, building a people, and building individuals. And so, I don't know, I left conference kind of with that mindset of like, okay, it's time to dream beyond what I think is possible and allow the goal to scare me a little bit, knowing that it doesn't sound like I can hit it. So that's probably the goal that I need to go for.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. What do you see your business becoming in the next year as you continue to grow it? What are some of the goals and exciting things you're excited about?
Man, I just love real estate. So I don't know. I would love to bring some more people on, and, you know, create a team out of this. Again, like I said, I really think that by the end of the year, Joe Homebuyer West Texas can be the name in our community of whether it's buyers or sellers, like, hey, do you need to buy a home? Do you need to sell a home? And it's like, you know, talk to Joe Homebuyer, talk to Brett, talk to the team. And so, just bringing people on so that we can expand and scale beyond, you know, beyond what we're currently doing, what I'm currently doing. So that's part of it. But then just, you know, I love real estate projects. I love flips. I love rentals. I love Airbnbs. I love helping investors get started. I love helping passing good deals to investors. You know, one thing that I have noticed about the Abilene market is there are some people that do a large amount of off-market lead generation, but it's really just companies that do like 40 or 50 flips a year. So they do a bunch of marketing, but they hold all those leads to themselves. And so one feedback that I've gotten from some investors is like, man, we're so glad that there is a local person who will wholesale and assign us deals, because it feels like the pipeline has been so limited. And, you know, they don't have either the time or the systems or the tools or the finances to generate those off-market leads. And so just being that name in the community of, you know, people have believed in real estate for a long time. The more we have podcasts and the more we have books, the more we have financial education, and people see the beauty and the value of real estate and the wealth it can bring, the wealth multiplier it is, the, you know, just the opportunity it is. I think we're going to see more buyers, more investors, you know, kind of rise up. And so being that name in the community that people will look to, not only to get deals from, but to get advice from and you know, see people get started. And so that's what I'm excited about. I'm also excited about reaching out beyond our current local territory. I mean, we have West Texas, which is really broad. I mean, it's like a 2.5-3 hour, you know, east to west kind of thing. So from where we are, pretty much 2.5 hours, 3 hours west is where our territory extends to. And so some of that area is untapped. Actually, a lot of that area is untapped right now because we've stuck to kind of what is local, just getting systems in place and getting our momentum and rhythm. But I'm really looking forward to, okay, what does it look like to actually expand out and stretch and fill kind of our entire territory? And what does that look like there? So that's on the horizon, and that's exciting to think about, you know, doing deals that are 3 hours away and developing and raising up people in those areas who can kind of be part of the Joe family and partner with us.
That's awesome. I love that. Well, thank you for sharing that, your vision and kind of what you want to accomplish and do as well. That's fantastic. What's a mistake that you made when you first started doing this that you think other people could learn from so they don't have to repeat it?
Ooh, let's see. You know, I feel like often I'm like, oh, that's a big mistake. You know, one thing I think when, and this is, I've caught myself doing this sometimes, but my experience as a pastor has kind of helped. I've always been like really money minded or really number minded. But when we can just like lay that down and have the mindset of like, you know what, let's talk about numbers later and let's just be with the people, be with the person that's in front of us, be present. You know, that's a tremendous value that we bring not only as Joe, you know, franchisees, but just as human beings, just as being those who love and listen and who are present with one another. And so, you know, I'm always trying to grow better at that because, you know, on one hand, it's business. When I was in ministry, everything I did, it was ministry minded. And so, you know, I was fine, you know, taking several hours to just be with one person, this and that. You know, what I fight now with Joe Homebuyer is like, no, this is a business. It needs to make money. It needs to make revenue. We're trying to expand. We're trying to grow. And so I kind of have this like, you know, this battling, competing mindset sometimes. But when I can just like lay it down and be like, you know what, the numbers will actually work themselves out. It doesn't mean be, you know, ignorant with them or anything like that. But like, just focus on the person and the opportunity in front of you. And you're going to see that the leads are going to come in, the contracts are going to, you know, you're going to get the contracts, and then you're going to find the buyers to buy those. And so that's one of them. But even in that, in negotiations, one big thing through the Zoom calls and even through in-person training was just learning how to do anchoring better and really not give a specific number and really not even talk about a number. Let the other person identify the number. Let them identify and come down. And then from there, kind of anchor it. So again, that is a big one, I think, especially for newer Joes that are getting started, just learning kind of the art of negotiation, but also the importance of anchoring, but really knowing the importance of what it looks like to either have that phone call or that in-person visit with the person about numbers. When I was up in Utah, I went on an appointment with Zarius, and we were in this lady's house for probably an hour, 45 minutes, 2 hours, and we never once brought up even a range of numbers for the house. She asked us a couple of times, but we were just taking the opportunity of getting to know her, connecting with her, seeing what her needs were. In fact, I mean, we just kind of had like this open up life and share, you know, moment. It was really powerful. It was an amazing connection that we had with the seller. But we never once, when she asked about, hey, so what do you think your number is? You know, we would kind of answer it, but we wouldn't, and we would keep going on with the conversation and connecting with her. And then, you know, later she identified the number. She even identified, like, I know that this house probably needs, you know, 50 or 60,000 in work. And it's like, yeah, you know, probably at least, like, the cost of things these days, and looking at this, 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 and this. But it was just one of those of, it reinforced the idea that, man, we just spent 2 hours talking with this lady, connecting with her, helping her, loving her, but she identified a number and a range without us ever having to bring it up. And that gave, you know, that gives us a place to where we can now approach that from a, you know, a business side, a deal side. We can approach it actually really quite well. And we had such a powerful connection with her. I cannot see her going to anybody else to sell her house, because of the value and the time, that we brought to her in that moment. So, yeah, I mean, as much as everything that we do is about numbers, don't make it about the numbers, you know, make it about the name of the person that's in front of you or on the phone call with you. Focus on names, not on numbers, and, you know, practice the art of being present and see what kind of value that brings, because our world and our culture doesn't do that great with, you know, the art of presence. And so when you can show up or have a phone call where you're fully present and available to the person, it makes an impact, and they are very aware that something is different about this interaction compared to the other interactions that they have on a daily basis.
Well, that's such an important reminder. Thank you very much for sharing that. Well, Brett, this has been an awesome conversation. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to share your story about Joe Homebuyer. Do you have any concluding thoughts or advice you'd give to someone who's joining the franchise about, because I think all people want to know, if you have this choice to make over again, would you do this? Would you join Joe Homebuyer? Maybe we could address that, but also just talk about, for someone who's listening to this or thinking about joining Joe Homebuyer, what advice would you give them?
Yeah. So if I had to do it all over again, I absolutely would choose Joe Homebuyer. Again, it's one of those of just, I think Joe Homebuyer is attracting people that have similar shared values. And so when they come across or get to know Joe, I think a lot of people want to be part of it. And the more that we grow and the more we operate, I think people are going to want to be part of the Joe family and see that real estate and business and even service can be done in a different way. It's not just a transactional way, it's a relational way. To someone starting out, you know, just kind of continuing to emphasize what Cody talks about a lot of, just take action. Swing the bat. Like, who cares if you fail? Keep going. Fail your way forward. That really is true. I mean, you know, in real estate, one thing when I started investing a few years ago, one thing I had to get over was like the analysis paralysis. Like, stop looking at numbers and trying to make them perfect or trying to make every single little thing make sense. Because when you stay there, you're not moving towards action. You're not doing anything. And so just that idea of take action, go for it. But yeah, one of the biggest things that I think brings advantage and value truly is just love the person that's in front of you. Like, do not take for granted that distressed homes mean distressed lives. And what a vulnerable but also a powerful opportunity and position we have to walk into somebody's home. Think about this. Like, how many times do we just open our homes to a stranger walking in? Not very often. Now think about the most stressful time of your life, or when everything just feels like chaos and it's falling apart. How many times do you let a stranger come into your house or into your family? Not very often. We're really guarded. We're really shielded. But these are people that they're kind of in places where they don't have any other options. They're just reaching out for help. And so when we can just show up and love the person and get to know them, care for them, you know, one big strategy, I say it's a strategy, really, it should be a value of life for everyone, but it is also a strategy, is take genuine interest in the person that's in front of you. Like, don't fake it because you're trying to get a contract signed or trying to negotiate, but just take interest in who's in front of you. Who are they? What's their life been about? What are they going through? What do they need? What do they desire? Do they have dreams? You know, what would be encouraging? How can this person, how can I love them today? Like, how can I show them that they are seen, that they're significant, that they're loved, and that they're not just overlooked by everybody else in the world or by their family or by whatever else is going on? And so just take interest in the person that's in front of you, and you're going to see that there is a power and a beauty to that. And like I said earlier, you know, leads and numbers and contracts kind of just fall into place when you truly just take interest in someone, love them, serve them, and realize that there's very few industries, there's very few jobs that have this kind of opportunity to sit with someone and to bring, you know, resolution to a problem that they have or to stress that they're enduring. And it's not just about resolving, you know, the stress of selling your home, but now we have an even greater opportunity of being able to love and encourage these people in a really powerful way, soul to soul, I believe.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again, Brett, for talking with me. I really appreciate your perspective, your time, sharing your experiences. This has been a phenomenal interview, and we really appreciate your time today. So thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. It's been an honor, and I'm excited to hear all the other stories. Let's go.
Disclaimer. As with any business, your results may vary and will be based on your individual capacity, business experience, expertise, and level of desire. There are no guarantees concerning the level of success you may experience in this or any franchise. Each individual's success depends on his or her own background, dedication, desire, and motivation. The information presented in this podcast episode that you just listened to is intended to be for your educational and informational purposes only. We are not presenting you with a business opportunity. We are not making any claims as to income that you may earn. Before embarking on any endeavor, please use caution and seek the advice of your own personal professional advisors, including your attorney and accountant. Where income figures are mentioned, if any, those income figures are anecdotal information passed on to us concerning the results achieved by the individual sharing the information. We have performed no independent verification of the statements made by those individuals. Please do not assume that you will make those same income figures. Success in any endeavor is based upon many factors individual to you. We do not know your educational background, your skills, your prior experience, or the time you can and will devote to the endeavor. Please perform your own due diligence before embarking on any course of action. Remember, there are risks in any endeavor that are not suitable for everyone. Please understand that past performance cannot be an indication of possible future results. Any and all forward-looking statements that are presented by franchisees in these podcast episodes are intended to express their opinion of earnings potential. Again, please perform your own due diligence before embarking on any course of action. Follow the advice of your personal qualified advisors. Thank you again for taking the time to listen to this podcast episode, and we hope you've enjoyed this conversation.